You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
NZVC, it is CBD on ESPN 850 WKNR. And one of the big matchups that we've been talking about, the interior of the Cleveland Browns offensive line, Vic, and who better to talk about that than Alex Mack?
Yeah, let's take it into the locker room now, inside the locker room, with our own Jameer Howardson. Jay, take it.
Alex, after taking a look back at the work week of getting ready for the Lions, how excited are you guys for this opportunity to face this team again?
You know, it's going to be pretty exciting. We had a Thursday game. We had a long weekend to kind of mentally refresh. So we got to come in this week feeling pretty good, you know, physically wise, and prepare for the Lions.
And after you guys, like, just really drilled down and watched a lot of the film, what just jumps out to you about this defense that you guys are about to face?
They play well. You know, I mean, that sounds real simple, but they work together well. They're not overly complicated a lot of the time, and they fit each other well. They do some different things, but they do all of it well, and they're all on the same page.
What have you seen from quarterback Brandon Weeden this week as you guys gear up?
You know, he's out there making all the calls, throwing some good balls. Today we had a really good one. It was deep and perfectly thrown. It was nice looking.
And just overall, what's it been like as a unit rallying around Brandon?
You know, we did a good job. You know, it was, you know, tough when he got hurt and Hoyer came in, and then Hoyer gets hurt and Brandon comes in. And so as a unit, we did a good job of, you know, all right, let's do it, next play. And Brandon did a good job of stepping up last week. And this week, his whole week to prepare before he's thrown in there. So I have high expectations.
Alex, you guys have the opportunity to win four straight in a row. Do you think about that as a team, or are you guys just, as Coach would say, win the one?
I think win the one is what you want to think about. You want to take each game all along itself. You know, this week, prepare for this game. So win or lose, you should look at each week as a separate week. And so coming in this week, we have the Lions to prepare for. What do we need to do this week to be successful?
Well, Alex, good luck to you guys, and thank you for your time.
All right, thanks for having me on.
Back to you, Vic.
All right, Jameer, thank you. And we thank Alex Mack for taking the time to do that. And we just talked about this. One situation that is sort of lingering out there, it's a big one, is Alex Mack's contract. We want to see that, I guess, get done. I don't know. I haven't got any real hard updates on where it is, but here we are 5 weeks into the season. And it tends to be the case where if these deals aren't done before a season begins, that they tend to wait until after the season.
Right, and he, I don't know who financially will benefit ultimately from said arrangement, but I'd like to see Alex Mack stay here for a long time.
Yeah.
And I liked what he said about this game. You take it one game at a time. He knows that they're good, and it's a challenge. I like the fact that a lot of the guys on this Browns team, maybe every guy on this Browns team, they want the challenge. They want to rise up and continue to succeed in the face of what are circumstances that people may say favors the talent on the other side of the ball. And Ndamukong Suh, Nick Fairley, they're great, yes, but you know what? We're going to be great too, and we want to meet that challenge head on. I like that competitive fire that this Cleveland Browns team definitely has. And it's a mindset that has changed, and you can speak to this better than I can, but it seems to me that the overall mindset and expectations for the way that this team is going to compete on a weekly basis is different in 2013 than it was in previous seasons.
No doubt. And Alex is a big part of this, too. When we talk about the toughness, when we talk about that not in our house and you can't push our guys around attitude that we were discussing earlier this week, as it applies to especially to guys like Sue and Fairley and a Dominic Riola on the offensive side, but as it especially applies to the defensive line, it's Mack who, along with Sean Laval, I think set that real tough guy tone. And Mack is the first guy when a Browns player is on the ground, when a running back is down, whether it was Trent Richardson or Willis McGahee after a play, go over and help your teammate up. You know, make a statement there. You're with him. You're part of this whole thing. You work together. And I think, and Alex gets that. And I think it's contagious. I think it's the kind of thing, it's a good thing for the whole team to kind of see and know. And in his own quiet way, they're not big vocal leaders on this team. This is not a team with big vocal leaders. We know that. I don't know where Brian Hoyer would have eventually been on that the scale this year. I think he was on the highest end of it as a quarterback, or higher than what Brandon Weeden is, but whatever. I want a little Brian Hoyer update. I had a chance to visit with him today. So he's got some surgery coming up. He's going to have his knee worked on. He originally thought actually it was like more of his hip that was hurt. That's where he felt a lot of the pain initially.
Interesting.
And it was interesting. He says he thought he was going to be told that it was like a tear in the hip area, but it was actually obviously the knee. And he said that was kind of surprising because he said his knee didn't hurt as much as his hip after that hit. And he said, you know, as he was recreating, he says, look, I was trying to slide. He says, I was definitely trying to slide. The heel got caught. His right heel got caught under him, and he was just kind of showing me. And he said, as the heel got caught, it was like at that moment that he got popped. He said, had his heel either, you know, had he not been hit or had the heel not been caught, he could, and he was
just
still hit,
through.
He would have envisioned taking a hit, but just kind of going flying and not being having everything just kind of crumple under him. And that's obviously what caused the knee injury. But the surgery's coming up. He and his wife are expecting their second baby. They got a 17-month-old, and they're going to have the baby soon here. What did he tell me? I think in a week or so, I think, you know, it was all being set up. And he said, you know, the plus is, he goes, if there's any blessing here with the timing of this, he goes, I'm around for it. You know, he's not doing a Joe Flacco, right?
Exactly.
That's Joe another, missed the birth.
Let me tell you, my wife would never. My wife wouldn't care if Joe Flacco won the next 100 Super Bowls. No chance he's going to get in her Hall of Fame vote. No chance.
He ticked off a lot of wives. Oh yeah, I heard that from my own on that one too. You're right. So anyway, Brian's there. But Brian also said, very upbeat, extremely upbeat, that, hey, I'll be there at OTAs. He says, I'm going to be here and be back. And a very confident guy, very bright, optimistic and upbeat outlook. And it was nice to see see a brighter face. That talking with him after that game last Thursday night was crushing. I hated it. I got a little emotional because he's there on crutches. They're celebrating this third win in a row. And he was so integral to those two wins and such a spark. And to see him there was just, it was sad and depressing. So you felt like this conflict of feelings of joy, Jim Brown's getting the game ball. And then here's Hoyer, you know, taking this all in on crutches. But seeing him today on crutches, just a whole different guy. And is, as I said, just a brighter outlook. Let's call your shot Friday. We say that at 216-578.
Let me just jump in real quick. Because I'm glad you brought that up. And I'm glad you gave a Brian Hoyer update.
Okay.
Because in the NFL, when you get it, you got to move on. It's the next man up, and you really have to move on. And Brian Hoyer did a whole heck of a lot for this Cleveland Browns team and this organization at a time when it needed it the most. In week number 3, when the sky was falling, he came out there and made the great throw to Jordan Cameron and a lot of other very good throws in that game, but to win that game. And that play, no matter what the story is ultimately at the end of the year, that was a seminal play in this season. And that was a seminal play that was made by Brian Hoyer, carried it through with a big win at home over the Cincinnati Bengals, and was on his way. And so I'm glad you brought that up, because now all the talk is weed, weed, weed. And that's the reality of the situation. That's the reality of the National Football League. But what Brian Hoyer did for that team this season cannot be overstated. And the fact that he's going to be back next year, he's going to be in the mix again. And if nothing else, if the team drafts a quarterback of the future, he's a guy who could end up being a very good backup, a help teach, has a very valuable role to play here. And I know you said you got emotional. I know certain people in the front office were very emotional. I know Brian was emotional. It's a tough thing, and I'm glad you brought it up, because he should not be forgotten just because he is injured and he's not going to get to play again this year.
Three words when I think of Brian Hoyer and what he did for this team this season: it was fun.
Yep,
it
was.
Not just because of the winning. I mean, it was fun to watch and fun, and I'm looking forward to his
seat more.
I'm not
going to lie, I thought you were going to go, ma-hung-per.
Yeah, three words or three syllables. Hey, Dave, we got to get Dave on his cell, though, is if he's still with us.
Let's Dave, do it, Dave.
You there, bro?
Yeah, how you guys doing?
Good, man.
Good.
What's up?
Good. Hey, I just want to talk about, you know, I think with the Browns defense, I like them. I like what they're doing. The only problem I see is T.J. Ward can't tackle or cover anybody. And I just think Detroit will be able to expose him with Joyke Bell and Bush. I mean, I don't think they'll have huge games, but I think Stafford's just efficient enough to get it done against the Browns. I want the Browns to win, but then I don't want them to win.
Well, T.J. Ward, just so you know, just as an objective, this isn't me being a homer, just an objective ranking system that is compiled by the people at Pro Football Focus, and they grade every player. Of the 80 safeties who have played at least 25% of their team's snaps, T.J. Ward is rated number 4 in coverage among all safeties. T.J. Ward this season does have 3 missed tackles, you're correct about that, but he also has 10 stops, which puts him in the top 5 at the safety position. He's got 24 tackles. He's done a good job, and we talked about the 14 passes headed his way, two interceptions, one pass defense, quarterback rating of 46.4. So, you know, it's one thing for me to tell you that I think he's doing a good job, which I do. Pro Football Focus is an unbiased evaluation tool that is used by many teams in the National Football League. He's currently regarded as the fourth best cover safety in 2013 this year. Tayshawn Gibson would check in at number 8 on that same out of 80. Again, they're playing at a very high level. I think that the issues with Reggie Bush and Joyke Bell, their ability to catch the ball in the backfield, something we talked about, that's something that the linebackers are going to have to do well with. Sometimes you're going to have to get Jabal Sheard out there, and he's going to have to make a tackle. Barkevious might have to make a tackle in some coverage. Just swarm the ball. Do not let them hit a crease and be gone. Get to the ball, take them down, and keep those gains short as opposed to a home run hits there, and I think the Browns are going to be in very good shape. If they make Detroit have to constantly move and march the ball down the field, the Detroit Lions are going to struggle, and Matt Stafford will have the opportunity to make a play that will be good for the Browns here and there.
All right, coming up, we're going to have a conversation with Gerard Cherry, who's a regular on this program, and we're so happy about that. More of your calls, as I said, 216-578-0850, 216-578-0850. We want you to call your shot on this Call Your Shot Friday. Want those barks from the pound. And tweet us at Browns_daily. Dave DiNatale, our outstanding producer, is standing by to handle all of that for us. Much more is ahead on a Football Friday. Vic Nathan, ESPN 850, WKNR. It's a party, a posse.